Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another brand new episode of The Casual Criminalist. As always, I'm your host, Simon. What happens here is I have a script in front of me. This one is Rebecca Roisch, Dead or Alive. Thank you to Jennifer for writing this one. Last time we had some confusion because the person who edits this show, also called Jennifer. Jennifer Writer, who wrote this script today, she wrote to me and said, Simon, it's easier. I normally go by Jenny. And I'm like, great, because edit Jennifer goes by Jen. Easy. Written by Jenny, read by Simon. Edited by Jen. Brilliant. Not confusing at all. Enough waffle. Let's just jump into it today. Did I mention how the show works? If you're new here, I've never read this before. We're going to explore it together. It's going to... I always say it's going to be fun, and then it's not because there's so much murder. Anyway, here we go. Over 900,000 people go missing in the United States each year. Only 50,000 of them are over the age of 18, and half of the missing juvenile cases are reported to be runaways. Whoa. So that means 850,000 are missing children. And I have to say, I started recording this already, and I was like, that cannot be right. That cannot be correct. So I wrote to Jenny, and I was like, Jenny, could you give me your source for this? Because that seems unbelievable. Like 850,000 missing children. And she linked me to a Reuters article. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess it's not a mistake. Because I read that article and then it made more sense. Because it's like, okay, 99% of them are recovered super quickly. Because generally it's just like the kid goes missing. And then they're like, oh, he was just in the garden in a bush. Or something like that. And the reason not so many adults go missing is because it's harder to get an adult reported missing. Because generally when an adult's missing, it's just like they're at the shops. Or they decided to abandon their responsibilities and go live in the mountains or something. Like, adults going missing, way less concerning than children going missing. About 80% of missing children returned home within 24 to 72 hours. After that, the chance of the missing person being found alive plummet to under 10%. In the UK, around 170,000 people are reported missing to the authorities. Contrary to across the pond, however, most missing citizens are adults. The chance of a child not turning up within a week is about 2%. In that case, it's also very sadly likely that they'll have passed away. Okay, so I guess it's easier to get someone reported missing in the UK, because otherwise those statistics don't make a lot of sense. Or we just keep a closer eye on our kids, America? I don't know, it doesn't seem like likely. In Germany, where today's episode of The Casual Criminalist will take place, approximately 100,000 people are reported missing every year. These just sort of statistics can always be a bit weird, because this doesn't mean like that many people are actually going missing. It's probably more. It's just like that so many people are reported missing, and then getting someone declared missing in all three of these jurisdictions can be like a totally different process. So it doesn't actually, you know, because there's more people in Germany than there are in the UK, but less people are reported missing. So I'm not sure whether that just means like more UK people are like, my life, I'm gonna go live in the mountains, or it's just a reporting thing. Statistics are not always perfect. In the year 2019, 15,395 German citizens under the age of 18 were a part of that number. When it comes to missing children, the German police have solved 98% of missing cases that year of children. I mean, that's impressive. Again, this is another one of those stats where you're like, holy, that's a good crime-solving rate. When really, like, didn't we just say in America, like, 99% of them are solved? Like, they're solved, like, pretty immediately, just because they're very easy to solve. It's like that 1% or 2% where it's like, yeah, they're abducted by a psycho predator. And then it's like, okay, that's going to be a little bit more tricky. And by a little bit, I mean, finding the kid who's been abducted by the psycho predator compared to the kid who's hiding in the bush in the garden is more complex. I don't like thinking about any of this stuff because I have two kids myself, and so far I've just been able to completely disassociate it. But then we were talking about the kids in the bushes, and it's like, I don't know, I was in Marks and Spencer's the other day and I was just doing some shopping, and I'm like, oh no, where's the kid? And it's my kid's literally just, you know, 2 meters away, just had wandered round the aisle, the end of the aisle, and I'm like, oh, there you are. But just that moment, that 3 seconds of like, ah! It's like, oh no. Don't like it. I'm going to get some AirTags and start sewing them into my children's clothes. Since March the 3rd, 1951, the German justice system has accumulated 1,869 cases of missing people and unidentified bodies. One of them is our topic for today. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. I love the episodes where we talk about missing children. I still haven't got over our f***ing episode on Pedro Lopez. I still think about that. It's been like 2 months since I recorded that, and I'm still thinking about f***ing Pedro Lopez. Don't listen to that episode. Don't listen to it. It's not nice. It's not good. You don't want to do that. Gone Without a Trace. It's the evening of February the 17th, 2019. In Berlin, Britz, a suburb of the Neukölln district, 15-year-old Rebecca Reusch is getting ready to go to sleep. Jenny says, pronunciation guide if necessary. And I'm like, Jenny, have you ever listened to any of my videos? Pronunciation guide is most definitely necessary. She had spent the day at her older sister Jessica's home and is too tired to go home. Jessica is already married and has a small daughter that she has to watch, and as her husband Florian is at a company dinner party. Rebecca spends the night on the living room couch. As it is Sunday morning, she has to go to school the next day. Jessica sleeps in the upstairs bedroom, and Florian returns from the party in the early morning at 5:45 a.m. Holy shit, my dude, that is some party. It's a company dinner party. You get home at nearly 6 a.m.? The last time, I haven't come home that late since I was a student. And sometimes you'd be like, whoa, it's getting late. Holy shit, what have we done? But as an adult man, I'd be like, this is insane. The latest I ever have come home in maybe the last 2 years, it was like 1 a.m. And my wife was staying at her parents' with the kids, and I met my friends, and we went to cocktails, and we stayed out super late. And I was like, 1 o'clock, this is crazy. In the morning of February the 18th at 7 a.m. on the dot, Jessica leaves the house with her daughter in order to drop the toddler off at kindergarten and go to her workplace. She's in quite a hurry and does not check on her younger sister again. Rebecca wakes up shortly after Jessica has left. She gets dressed in a merchandise hoodie of the popular Korean pop band BTS, ripped jeans, and black Van sneakers. Other than the Van sneakers, Vans were popular when I was like 18. I never had them because, I don't know, I wasn't like a skater. But they're still popular. I mean, I kind of thought that was like, although Converse shoes, but Converse shoes are a lot cooler than Vans, aren't they? Or is that just in my mind? I don't know. Like, I have a couple of pairs of Converse shoes, which I like. These days, I have to say, I just don't wear any other shoes. They're probably not sponsoring this episode, but we've got a sponsor. Probably, I don't even know if we have it on this channel, but Vessi shoes. And I always talk about in the ad read how it's like I just don't wear anything else. And in the ad read, people are like, oh, I could just be saying that. I literally, like, this isn't an ad read. This isn't even paid. Look at this. I'm wearing them right now. And all the shoes that I bought previously to this just never get worn. What are we talking about? I'm sorry for the tangent. In the hallway, she decides to take a picture of herself and sends it to one of her friends via the popular messaging application Snapchat. It is believed that the picture was taken and subsequently sent sometime after 7 a.m. Because Snapchat pictures are automatically deleted after a few seconds, there is no exact time available. This is all feeling like, you know, normally when we do one of these, it's like years later because the there's investigation and crime and trial and all of that stuff. This is all feeling extremely contemporary. I mean, I know Snapchat's been around for a while, and BTS, I don't know how long they've been around. All I can think when I hear the name BTS is in the video making world. BTS stands for behind the scenes. So I don't know what BTS stands for. I assume it's something in Korean. But in my world, it's always like BTS behind the scenes. You're going to shoot some BTS. I remember when I first went on my first like shoot with an actual like crew. And they were like, we're going to shoot some BTS. And I was like, yeah, we are. And then I quietly say to like one of the assistants, what's BTS? Don't tell people I asked this. At 7:15, Rebecca's mother, Brigitte Reusch, tries to check on her daughter by phone. She doesn't answer the call and is redirected to the girl's mailbox. Rebecca's phone logs onto Jessica and Florian's Wi-Fi router for the last time at 7:46 a.m. Half an hour later, at 8:25 a.m., Brigitte makes another attempt at contacting her daughter. Rebecca, or Becky as her friends and family lovingly refer to her as, should have arrived at school by now, and Brigitte becomes increasingly worried about her youngest child's well-being. She calls her son-in-law, Florian, but he declines her call. Okay, so just to recap, because there's a lot of names that got confusing. The protagonist of today's episode, Rebecca Reusch, is staying at her older sister's house. And then the older sister leaves with her daughter for school, leaving Rebecca at her home alone. But she's 15. That's okay. And so she's got to go to school. And then at some point, her mum The mum of Rebecca, Brigitte Roisch, at this point checks in, 7:15 a.m. She tries to check in on her daughter by phone. She does not answer the call, and it goes to her mailbox. Great, okay. Half an hour later, at 8:25 a.m, Brigitte makes another attempt at contacting her daughter, Rebecca, or Becky, as her friends and family lovingly refer to her as. She should have arrived at school by now, and Brigitte becomes increasingly worried about her youngest daughter's well-being. She calls her son-in-law, Florian. So that's the husband of the older sister who was at the dinner party. And he declines her call, but he tries to call Brigitte back unsuccessfully. On the third attempt, they're finally able to speak to one another. The only piece of information Brigitte gets from Florian... Oh, sorry, she's not alone at home because the husband's asleep, I assume, after this super late night. However, is that as far as he knows, Rebecca is not in the house anywhere. At 8:42 a.m, the worried mother decides to send her missing daughter a WhatsApp message, which is delivered but not read. When Rebecca did not return home after school, her parents reported her as missing. Wait, they didn't phone the school and be like, is she at school? Well, they said she didn't show up. She is 15, though, so it's not like it's a kid who goes missing. It's a teenager, and she could just be playing truant or something, and then you'd be like, well, there's going to be consequences for that. And that would make sense in many ways, like 15-year-old. So, okay, with them so far. The investigation. The German police immediately began to search for Rebecca. Since she's underage and female, her case is treated with extreme urgency. The surrounding area of both her parents' home and the place of Jessica and Florian is searched the same day, as well as the route she takes on her usual daily morning commute to Walter Gropius School. However, no traces are found, and the police decide to ask the public for help on the 21st of February, 3 days after the girl is reported missing. Wait, they don't pull out some sort of... I don't even know how this works. Like, because I know in America, because I see it in movies and stuff, you have these Amber Alerts when it's like a kid goes missing and everyone gets like notifications on their phone and on their TV and stuff. And it's like, look out for this person. I've never seen that in my life in like growing up in the UK or anything like that. It'd be like, maybe you'd see if a person's gone missing, you'd see them on the news. But there wouldn't be any sort of clever messaging system or Amber Alert system. And I'm wondering why the hell not? Like, I never see it here where I live in Prague either. I never see anything like that. I never get any notifications on my phone that someone's been kidnapped. And it's not because people aren't kidnapped and stuff. It's just there doesn't seem to be a system, which is super weird. Why isn't that Amber Alert system that the Americans have? Or is it just not as good as I imagine it to be? Why isn't that everywhere? We should definitely get on that. 3 days to wait before you're like, there's a missing kid. Let's ask some people. That seems not urgent enough. The first public message sadly turns out to be far from useful. The picture attached to the posters that are being put up around the entire city of Berlin was taken from Rebecca's Instagram account. The 15-year-old had edited all of her public photos so that her face was close to being unrecognizable. Rebecca's family, of course, notices this rather large mishap, and another sister, Vivian Roisch, provides the authorities with unedited family photographs, and the Instagram pictures are quickly replaced with proper ones that actually depict the way Rebecca looks. Ah, the Instagram... the gram where everyone, I don't know, filters and makes their lives look better than they really are. I used Instagram for like a month a couple of years ago, and then I never used it again. That's it. I haven't logged it. Oh no, I sometimes log in to check my messages to see if anyone's messaged me, and that's it. I don't think people expect a reply when my last post was 3 years ago, 4 years. It was pre-COVID for sure. A purple blanket went missing alongside her, so a photo of that item is released to the public as well. 2 days later, the homicide department takes charge of the investigation, as according to the police, it could not be ruled out anywhere that Rebecca became the victim of a crime. Her family puts up leaflets asking for help. Her older sister Vivian organizes a search party in Berlin-Radow, her home district. The police do not remain idle as well and search the area for her sister's home as well as nearby parks. Even a helicopter scans the area for any signs of the girl. I mean, it's all like, even a helicopter? Like, wow, they even got a helicopter? It's like, there's a missing child! There should be like 9 helicopters! On the 28th of February 2019, 10 days after Rebecca was reported missing, the first arrest is made. Well, that's pretty good. 10 days, that's not bad. Florian R., Rebecca's brother-in-law, gets taken into custody. Holy shit. Okay. He's the dude who was out and was in the house with her in that morning, but he was asleep, presumably, or he was kidnapping her, maybe. Reason for the arrest are pictures made by the automatic license plate recognition system of Brandenburg, the state which surrounds the city of Berlin. German pronunciation challenge for Simon. Oh my good lord, that word is like extremely long. Oh my god, what is this? Is this the license recognition system? Automatisches, and then the second word is Kennzeichenerfassungssystem. Yes. My understanding of German, and Jenny is German, by the way, I should mention that, which is, I'm sure she's like, easy. A 24-letter word, please. That's what we call breakfast in Germany. Not literally, I mean, like, it's as easy as breakfast. Does that make sense? Is that a good, is that a bad analogy? In German, they stick words together, right? So they could be like fast car, and they'd call it like, oh God, what's the word for car? I know the word schnell is fast, schnell. What's car? How do I know the word for fast, but not car? I'm sorry, but and then they'd stick them together to make one longer word. The pictures show the car of Rebecca's sister and her husband, Florian, a raspberry-coloured Renault Twingo, moving on the A12 or Highway 12 toward the Polish border on the day of Rebecca's disappearance at 10:47 a.m. In the back seat, a purple fleece blanket is slightly visible. It is once again registered on the same highway the next day at 10:39 p.m., going in the same direction. Due to eyewitness accounts and his wife Jessica's daily schedule, the police assure that Florian was the only person with access to the car during these times. When questioned by the police, Florian's statements about his car's movements do not fit the routes recorded. Forensic technicians also search his home but are unable to collect enough evidence to link him to Rebecca's disappearance. I mean, they had enough evidence to arrest him. And what do they know? He's, wait, I don't know. I got a speeding ticket in Germany last year, 2 years ago. And they had a good picture of my face. They were like, here's your car, and here you are driving your car. And I'm like, well, there's no getting out of this one. Also, somehow, the ticket was insane. It was like, not expensive. It was insanely cheap. I think I was going, it was in a city, and I wasn't going super fast. I think I was going like 40 in a 30. And I got this ticket from like, the German Polizia. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is going to be bad. Because I get the feeling the Germans are going to be heavy into like fines. It was 15 euros. I was like, what? Is it really worth it to send me a letter and do all of this stuff for 50? How much is the postage? I was very relieved, and I didn't get any more points added to my license, which was nice. A judge orders him to be released, still his car is confiscated, awaiting further inspection. The verdict, however, is overturned again a few days later, and he's arrested again. According to the judge, the reason for this is the ongoing investigation. Sounds like they found some new evidence they don't want to tell us about yet, doesn't it? On the 6th of March, the popular German investigative TV show Aktenzeichen XY Ungelost, file number XY unsolved, airs a segment covering the case of Rebecca. Pictures of her brother-in-law and the Renault Twingo are released, and several investigators comment on the case at hand. Michael Hoffman from the State Criminal Police Office reiterates that Florian R. has not explained his suspicious car rides yet and always failed to come up with a plausible explanation, having since resorted to complete silence. Hoffman and the leading prosecutor, Martin Glage, both agreed that Rebecca did not leave the home of her sister and brother-in-law alive and that Florian was the only other person in the house beside Rebecca when the crime was committed. Oh my God. Wait, so he murdered her, he put her in the car, and then he's taken her in the car to, like, I don't know, bury her somewhere? Dude. In contrast to his son-in-law, Rebecca's father, Bernd Reusch, does not stay quiet about the Renault Twingo's movements. This whole thing is connected to another matter, which I can't say anything about, but it has nothing to do with Rebecca. Florian, just speak. Clear that up so the investigation goes into another direction, the right one. We need to find Becky, he appeals. But Florian has still not spoken about the matter publicly to this day. Wait, so what does the father know? This is more like of a mystery than, I mean, than what we normally cover here. This is bizarre. A day after the show, the police finish up combing Florian's Renault Twingo for clues and return the car to Jessica Reusch. They found a hair of Rebecca and fibers of the purple blanket that went missing with her. What is a Renault Twingo? I've never heard of this car. Is it that really weird-looking car? Oh no, it's just a regular. It's like a little hatchback. Until March the 10th, the forest in the neighboring state of Brandenburg, between the cat towns of Kummersdorf and Wolzig, is searched by over 100 police officers with search dogs and specialized cadaver dogs. Another helicopter is dispatched to aid the search party from above. Eyewitnesses reported seeing Florian's car close to the forest after the episode of Aktenzeichen XY, which featured the case. but sadly nothing is found. Still, innumerable other search operations follow. The Technological Aid Agency, THW, also supports the police by providing ground-penetrating radar to detect any buried bodies. An echo sounder, divers, and even more search dogs are deployed to the area of the German-Polish border, to several nearby lakes and forests. As you might have guessed, nobody or nobody turned up. The search is officially discontinued on April the 13th. Theories. As is always the case with missing people, many citizens, whether led by good intentions or not, remember the Amy Lynn Bradley case, will jump in with supposed sightings or their own suggestions of where the missing person disappeared to. In the case of Rebecca Roisch, over 2,000 anonymous tips have reached the police roughly 6 weeks after the Acton, Zeik & XY episode aired. This is anything but a cold case, Mike Hoffman says. And this has proven to be not just an empty phrase. Now, almost exactly 3 years later, after Rebecca Roisch went missing, the tips are still being investigated. And of course, numerous theories have surfaced regarding the now 18-year-old's whereabouts, some more credible than others. But please decide for yourself. The brother-in-law. I mean, he's definitely got something to hide, right? Because the father was like, bro, you gotta tell what happened. Like, because he doesn't seem to think he's innocent. He's guilty or something. One of the major points of this episode was the investigation, and according to the local police, Florian R. is still considered the prime suspect. Remember the two suspicious car rides we spoke about earlier and Florian remaining silent about their purpose? In the meantime, the police have come up with their own explanations regarding these trips. Big fat allegedly here, but some speculated that the 29-year-old cook may have lost his wedding ring when disposing of his sister-in-law's body, and he went back to retrieve it when he noticed the loss. An alternate explanation rooted in the same thesis that Florian was driving to the site where Rebecca's corpse may or may not be located states that he made a mistake while getting rid of the body, evidence, or both, and returned to correct it. Several highway exits on his route on the day of Rebecca's disappearance and the day after were thoroughly searched by hundreds of policemen and women. Some search dogs are said to have picked up a trace of Rebecca near a forest in Brandenburg. Florian has knowledge of the area since he grew up close to it. In the same forest, a female horseback rider spotted a man fully dressed in black, behaving suspiciously. According to her, he was behaving rather erratically and seemed quite nervous, profusely looking around and often changing directions. An ex-girlfriend of his also accused Florian R. of domestic violence and sexual assault. Whoa. This guy already seems like allegedly pretty guilty, doesn't he? And that is just like, okay. Well, that's adding to the picture of this dude. One of the lead theories, and also one that the police continue to at least half-heartedly believe in, is this, as they confirmed him as the prime suspect once again this month, February 2022. This is all happening super recently. The main theory goes as follows. Florian and Rebecca were alone in the house after Rebecca's sister, Jessica, left work at roughly 7 a.m. Florian had a violent outburst for some reason, whether this was due to lack of sleep on his part. Remember, he'd come home from a party just a few hours prior. Rebecca oversleeping or something else entirely is up for debate, as well as if the outburst even happened. Outburst or not, Florian ended up murdering the 15-year-old girl, possibly even sexually assaulting her before she died. Afterwards, he wrapped her lifeless body in the purple fleece blanket Rebecca had brought from home so that it would be less suspicious compared to one of his wife's blankets missing from the house. He then cleaned up the crime scene and drove to a forest in Brandenburg to hide Rebecca's dead body. Since he knows his way around the area, he is capable of choosing a hiding place which is close to impossible to discover. He was very nervous during his mission, however, and ended up drawing attention to himself by scanning his surroundings for witnesses. And at this point, you wonder, how did he miss a grown woman on a giant horse? Did she ride a silent ghost horse? Or maybe he's just deaf? I mean, for someone who was apparently that nervous, that's a huge oversight, just my opinion. Yeah, I agree. Didn't do a very good job, did he? It's like someone sees you and he's like, I was being furtive. He then went back home and proceeded with his normal everyday life. However, Florian remembered that he had made a crucial mistake and returned to the corpse to fix it, pick something up again, or whatever. He did this in the late evening to avoid any suspicion, and that worked out great for him. Sarcasm, maybe. Florian allegedly did not know about the number plate recognition system. To be fair, I didn't either. And when he was confronted about the car rides by the police, he hurried to make up some half-assed excuse. Yeah, but you're gonna know. Don't people know? There's gonna be cameras on motorways because they use it for monitoring traffic at the very least. And if you're going through an average speed check zone, they're gonna be recording you coming in, going out, any sort of I just assume that I'm being tracked, like, pretty much constantly. And that if they're like, were you here? You're not going to have it. You can't lie, because they're like, well, we have cameras everywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You drive somewhere, they know where you're driving. Although, allegedly, let's just say a strong allegedly here. Or let's just say it wasn't me, it was someone I know. Drove around without their car having an MOT for 6 months. Because just didn't realise. Like, went to get the car serviced and my friends was like, yeah, so can you do the MOT as well? And they're like, oh, you don't need an MOT, this is just the service. And I'm like, it's been a while. I mean, my friend was like, it's been a while since I had an MOT. No check. So they're like, yeah, you should have done that about 6 months ago. So you've just been driving around illegally for 6 months. It's very lucky that you didn't get pulled over. I mean, my friend was like, okay, please fix this. Rebecca's father, Bernd Reusch, was also questioned about his son-in-law's action and later stated, the officers who questioned me tried to lure me into incriminating Florian, but it didn't work. I wholeheartedly believe that he is innocent, and I'll never change my mind on that. And he's not alone. The entire Reusch family firmly believes in his innocence. The claims of sexual abuse have never been verified, and there was no clear, irrefutable evidence of the murder taking place in Florian and Jessica's home. The only remaining evidence are the car rides, the cadaver dogs metaphorically pointing their paws at an area Florian was familiar with, and blonde hair and purple fleece fibers in his car, as well as the possible sighting of him behaving weirdly in the forest. Taking into account this took place just outside of Berlin, however, makes me believe that it just might have been some dude high off his tits on Columbia. Be a nose candy or just good old crack. Delusional family loyalty or corrupt police. Since Rebecca's body was not found and the evidence against Florian R. is mostly, if not purely, circumstantial, he was never formally charged with the crime. Yeah, it's all circumstantial, super circumstantial. The car rides, why didn't he have a good reason for that though? Still, he remains the prime suspect in the ongoing investigation, but he has never let anything slip, let alone confess to anything. The mysterious lover. Eventually, the press caught whiff of a certain young man in Rebecca's life, Maximilian, or Max. He was described as a teenager the same age as Rebecca, who did not live in Berlin. Allegedly, he wanted to travel to the German capital city around the time Rebecca vanished. Friends and family, however, strongly advised Rebecca against meeting her online friends because of possible catfishes, pedophiles, human traffickers. You know the drill. What's that show? Why don't you take a seat? It's like, oh, shit. He's like, it's like the excuses come rolling. The teenager took their advice and seemingly cancelled their meeting. She also remarked that she was not particularly fond of the young man's haircut, since his hair was a bit on the longer side. Because the news reached the public months after the initial disappearance, it was suspected by the media that this supposed boyfriend had been kept a secret from everyone, and her friends had just now decided to spill the beans. The theory basically states that Rebecca did not in fact cancel her date with Max, but went to meet him that Monday morning. This would also explain the missing blanket, at least according to Rebecca's mother. She could have brought it as some sort of picnic blanket, you know, to sit on, Brigitte Reusch told several newspapers. This idea is also corroborated by a witness who claims to have seen Rebecca calmly walking down the street, blanket under arm. So in short, he made Rebecca disappear, most probably via murder. Suspiciously, Max's Instagram profile, which he used to communicate with Rebecca, was deleted a few days after she was reported missing to the police. The police, however, claimed to have thoroughly investigated the teenager and came to the conclusion that he had nothing to do with the disappearance. The witness who might have seen Rebecca was deemed unreliable because she only came forward with this after the Max story came out on the news. Therefore, the police assumed she might have seen someone else and attributed her story to confirmation bias. Yeah, this sort of eyewitness stuff cannot be trusted. It was not Florian, so it must have been this Max guy if she is truly dead, Rebecca's mother, Brigitte, stated. Or it could be someone else. It's just these are the two people that the police looked into. One of them seems to be firmly ruled out, so it could just be someone else. Once again, maybe the parents of Rebecca are just blinded by this big evil internet thing, or even worse, boyfriends. Or maybe the police were just on the wrong track. Parents being overprotective of their teenage daughters getting into relationships would be nothing new, after all. But have the police always been correct about their assumptions and prime suspects? Certainly not. It can definitely be someone else. Suicide. Max is not the only man associated with Rebecca Roisch. Apparently, she also had a boyfriend for 2 weeks in spring of 2018, so roughly a year before her disappearance. This relationship, however, was regarded as very unhealthy by her friends. She also had a crush on a then 21-year-old man who rejected her because he felt like he was too old for her. Yeah, it's like, no, I'm not interested in going out with you. Because I'm 21 and you're 14. Finally, a guy with some sense. Good job, mate. No, not good job. Just like regular ass person. This should not be something you're congratulated for, that you don't go out with a 14-year-old. It should just be like, obviously not. Obviously not. It's f***ing weird. And illegal. She was left heartbroken by his response. Some friends of her were also labeled as toxic by the media, but nobody really bothered to elaborate on this for some reason. Rebecca also had issues at school. One woman brought her 10-year-old daughter, who went to Walter Gropius Schule as well. The little girl has allegedly told her mother about an argument she had witnessed at school, which had left an older blonde girl crying right on the day of Rebecca's disappearance. Because Rebecca was, surprise, not the only blonde girl at that school, so whether she really saw Rebecca or another girl is still unknown, especially because her mother suggested she saw Rebecca when the 10-year-old told her about what happened, so the possibility that she was coerced into telling the press that she saw Rebecca remains. Yeah, again, this is A, eyewitness testimony, notoriously unreliable. B, eyewitness testimony from a 10-year-old, super unreliable. And C, the mother suggesting that it could be Rebecca, and then the daughter being like, yeah, it was. You can't realistically, no. This has got to be rejected immediately. Still, it is entirely possible that Rebecca had been seen crying. No, I disagree. I mean, yes, maybe, but not based on this evidence, which is clearly unreliable. According to classmates and friends, there was a lot of gossip about her circling around. It had gotten so bad that she was in the process of transferring to another school. One day, a classmate tried to snatch Rebecca's hat off her head, but ended up accidentally scratching her face in the process, which led to a huge fight. According to bystanders, both of them were exaggerating, and the argument needlessly escalated into a physical fight. A classmate was taken out of class and questioned by the police repeatedly, but no connection to Rebecca's disappearance could be established, so no claims were made against him. You had a fight at school, and then the next thing that it's like you're kidnapping and murdering someone. It's a bit of an escalation. Why would he scratch my face? Well, you're going to be questioned for for the murder. Wow. A couple of WhatsApp messages which were sent into a group chat by Rebecca then surfaced. Quote, everyone has a reason to live. Their friends, their partners, their family. I don't. There is no hope. I just want to die. Furthermore, Rebecca wrote about not being able to get out of bed and therefore always asking her friends to come to her house so she wouldn't have to move around as much. She was never taken into treatment and never diagnosed with any mental illness, as her parents and peers considered this normal teenage mood swings. Someone saying there is no hope, I just want to die. That is not a normal teenage mood swing. And that person should have some sort of assessment or treatment or of some kind. Just they should be checked into by a professional just to make sure they're okay. Just made it absolutely clear. We do not believe she is dead, Rebecca's parents still repeat over and over again. Not because of murder and definitely not because of suicide. So, yes, this theory is pretty straightforward. Rebecca snuck out Sunday night and committed suicide in a very remote location. Why she did not leave a note, even though she was obviously quite open about her emotions, how she got there without a car, or how her body simply managed to disappear into thin air, remains unexplained by the suicide theory, which is one of the main reasons that it's disregarded by the police force. Human trafficking. This theory is a rather short one, but it ties into the prior three. Either Florian, he henceforth drove in the direction of the Polish border, her internet half-boyfriend Max, for whatever reason, maybe he was a professional, or her school bullies out of sheer hatred, one of them must have kidnapped Rebecca Roisch and sold her into Eastern Europe as a sex slave, or for other purposes. This is a massive stretch, guys, come on. Some experts weighed in, quote, young women under the age of 18 are very popular goods in these countries, an anonymous source told a German media outlet. Please. This theory surfaced for the first time when Bernd and Brigitte Roisch were sent pictures of a young lady who bore an uncanny resemblance to Rebecca. They were found on a prostitution forum to advertise certain services. I'm going to guess on the prostitution forum, those services might be related to prostitution. The police immediately investigated the tip, but found out that the pictures belonged to an adult woman from Dusseldorf, a city in western Germany. But the theory was not dead, far from it, actually. While this is the thing, the theory surfaces for the first time from something that is later proven to be false, and yet it still sticks around as a theory because it gets its hooks in, even though it's like, come on, this is not very likely. Not long after, she was spotted in Krakow, Poland by another German citizen. She was being accompanied by an older looking guy, but did not show any visible signs of distress. Allegedly, she was happily chatting away in Germany. Eyewitness nonsense. This supposed sighting of very much alive Rebecca was given way more credibility because the witness described her as wearing braces, a detail which was not mentioned anywhere in the media nor featured in public photographs, but certainly true. Sadly, no credible sightings were reported since then, and the trail went cold. Yes, but again, also plenty of teenagers wear braces. There is no other evidence for nor against this theory, and it's very hard to prove without 100% verifiable evidence, for example photographic, but also equally hard to disprove due to lack of evidence that Rebecca is actually dead. Yeah, I'm pretty much passing on that theory. Korea. The last and by far the shortest theory about Rachel Roisch's disappearance. Okay, Korea? Really? As you may have been able to tell, Rebecca's parents may have been desperately grasping at straws here and there. This theory was the only one proposed by Rebecca's parents. Coincidentally, the day of her disappearance, February the 18th, in case you forgot, is also the birthday of Jung Ho Seok, or J-Hope, one of the world-famous BTS members. As I mentioned in the beginning, Rebecca was a huge fan. Her mum speculates. Maybe she went to Korea to see him and the rest of the band. Jenny writes. I'll just leave that there. I'm sorry, mum. You are... That is... I mean, this is a horribly traumatic thing that you've gone through. But that is beyond delusional. Conclusion. Missing children are always sad cases. I cannot imagine the pain of the mother, father, and sisters of Rebecca and what they're still going through. Even though they have confirmed time and time again that they firmly believe in Florian R's innocence, there still must be this looming cloud of suspicion that one of your own family members may be at fault for your loss. Even though it may be tough, Bernd, Bridget, Jessica, and Vivian still hold the belief that their daughter and sister is still alive somewhere out there. If you've seen Rebecca or have any hints that may be of value, please contact your local police department. Europol is still on active lookout for her since the German Federal Criminal Police Office asked for help after the human trafficking allegations surfaced. Yeah, this is a sad one that's still ongoing. Just reiterate that. Contact the police if you know anything about this. But this has been an episode of The Casual Criminalist, an unsolved one. Rarity here. We generally cover ones that have been solved. Sad. I don't like, you know... Got ones with kids. Since I've had kids, it bothers me a lot more. I mean, it bothered me before because it's kids going missing, but it's different when you have them yourself. Anyway, thank you very much for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.